From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-cape-wearing, ever-technical difficulty-fixing right before the show, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob. But you know what? We get things done here. Even at the last minute, we get things done here.
Anybody who was watching the live show or
they didn't see it because
they didn't.
No, because the image was up there the whole time, so nobody saw anything. That's the mystery of video, Bob. You think it's there, but then it's really not. We have some tricks up our sleeves here on Bob After Dark, but
something like that.
Yeah, happy to be back.
But you know what? The benefit is that people are listening in podcast land. Didn't even know there was a technical difficulty.
No. Well, nope. Honestly, if you're listening to the radio too, you didn't know. You just heard some commercials. So it's like a real show around here now.
All right, Cal Panic, let's get your weekend update.
Yes, Bob. Of course, the weekend. Of course, we're a day late, so it feels like the weekend so far away. We're doing the show on a Wednesday. It's a very special.
Well, if we went months without doing the show in the studio, I think we could survive a day.
Well, yeah, that's true too. But, you know, from trying to remember the weekend, it's all a blur after Tuesday, really. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of confusing to see what really happened during the week. But I did have a good weekend from what I remember of it. Did some cool things, which, you know, I kind of remember. It was a hot weekend. I remember that for sure. I was out and about. But, you know, had a pretty solid one. Can't complain. And good to be back here on a Wednesday with you, Bob, for a change.
You never answered me what exactly you did.
I don't think I did too much this weekend. That's the thing. Just, you know, walk around the heat, basically.
Ugh.
I know. It's been a hot month. You know, I don't know if you like the heat or not, Bob.
Absolutely not.
I'm not a big fan. Vampires usually like air conditionings, too. So it's been a tough month for myself. But you know what? Can't complain. It's summertime. Eventually it's going to be cold and snowy, and we'll be back begging for this nice hot weather we had in July.
I don't even want to think about the snow. My weekend update, well, you shared to the proper channels now. What did I do? I didn't really do too much. I had to do day job stuff at one point, and then we had to do not much, actually. So here I am now, just got myself prepped and ready for Bob After Dark for the week, and that's really all I have for you. Count, I don't really have a weekend update. I hope you were able to share in my channels in that short.
You're kind of taking a page from myself here.
Yeah, you know what? We're still under quarantine. We're still under this whole, you know, stay-at-home order for the most part, and that's fine. I'm happy to stay at home. That's not a big deal. I want to point out something that our fans listening in podcast land might not – well, they're not going to see because we don't have the video up for them, but the people watching at home, you're wearing a shirt that says Friday, what is it?
Casual Friday there.
Casual Friday. Yeah. You realize that we're not only on Wednesday.
True.
But I'm like in a collared shirt and slacks like I normally am for the show.
It's always a casual Friday for vampires, of course.
I guess. I thought, you know, aren't you guys supposed to wear like ruffles and crushed velvet?
Yeah, it's summer. You can't. It's too hot for ruffles and crushed velvet and all that good stuff. But, you know, I figured we're a couple days away from Friday. I think Wednesday is when people start really counting things down, and, you know, we're going to make it casual Friday here, too. Last week, you were very casual. You had the summer gear on for the show.
I did, but it was still a button-up with a collar.
That's true, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always business here at Bob
F. Always business. Always business. Business in the front, party in the back. You're in the front, I'm in the back.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Count, let's do a quick, if this is your first time ever listening. If this is your first time ever listening to us on Bob After Land in podcast land, make sure you jump over to the Apple Podcast website and leave a 5-star review. Because for every 5-star review we get, Count Panic will cheers you.
That's the cheers to everybody right now doing 5 stars.
We didn't have any new 5 stars.
Well, when they do, I'll cheers them right
here. Make sure you guys get your 5-star reviews in if you haven't shared them already. And if this is your first time listening to us in podcast land, welcome. What you're listening to right now is the version of the live show that we put on every week. So during the week of you listening to the show up until the Tuesdays when we typically do this, you could always call into our phone line, 219-845-1100, to hear yourself live in podcast land for the following week. Or if you'd like to call in during our live show, you could hear yourself, well, live. Bob After Dark is a show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Anything that goes bump in the night or, I guess, twinkling in lights in the sky.
I remember what I did on my weekend, Bob.
Oh, yes. What did you... I'm glad that you got to derail. Like, all right, what did Count Panic do this week?
You know what, Bob? For people out there, it was kind of a... I was running around a lot, Bob. But, you know, here in the region, Bob, and you know this,
yes,
it would have been a sacred holiday weekend for us here in the region. It would have been Pierogi Fest.
It would have been Pierogi,
which you participate in, I participate in.
I think most people participate
in. Of course, we didn't have it this year due to everything getting shut down. But I did go out. There was some cool things, little gatherings, very small gatherings happening throughout the community. So I went there and videotaped some of that. That'll be out on Panic in the Region on my other page.
Ah, yes, your
shameless
solo
plug.
Project. No, you can do a shameless plug. It's your solo project.
But I got to put that up for Friday. But still some cool things. It's good to see people, despite the times we're in, the pressures we're in, and what we're dealt against, still people kind of making the best of things, Bob. It's the human spirit.
And the worst of things.
And the worst of things. The human spirit.
The human spirit.
Yes.
All right.
We're celebrating the human spirit.
Absolutely.
Here.
Before we dive into the lore of the week, I want to have a conversation with you, Count Panic.
Yes.
Because this is going to be a first time here on the show.
Okay.
We're actually going to have four news stories, and
four,
one of which is literally breaking as we speak.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Breaking news here on Bob After Dark.
We are breaking news here on Bob After Dark.
All right.
Let's just dive right in. This is the part of the show where we talk about anything in the news that interests me as far as spooky stuff. Anything like paranormal making it to major news outlets or weird advances in science that are borderline science fiction, or in this week, literally could be causing the apocalypse as we speak.
Right now as we speak?
Right now as we speak.
So instead of doing a show, should we be getting prepared?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Panic. We are Bob After Dark. We are not afraid of the apocalypse. We welcome it. We have these conversations.
We encourage it.
We encourage it.
Okay.
And, you know, that's our job, is to survive it so then we could come back and instead of being the weird paranormal show, we're the only show left. And then we will no longer be the weird paranormal show. It's just...
So you're saying live on the air at any moment now, cameras just go dark, you'll hear a bunch of loud noises, and that could be it.
Yes.
All right, well.
And it all starts with a little app called TikTok.
TikTok?
Do you know what a TikTok is?
Is that where they dance? They dance on that app, right? There's a lot of dancing.
Full disclosure, I'm not old.
No.
But I feel old, and I feel out of touch with today's, like, culture outside of, obviously, podcast stuff. I mean, I'm just not in touch with those kinds of things. Mm. But a lot of fans have been reaching out to me about starting a Bob After Dark TikTok because apparently there is a big paranormal community out there and it'd be a good place
really?
To advertise. So, you know, I started doing some digging. I'm like, well, let's look into this because the only, like, TikTok things I know are, like, people that do, like, the lip syncing.
Yeah.
And, like, the movie scene syncing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've seen stuff like that, but I've never seen, like, I don't know how I fit in.
Now, this is not like MySpace, right?
No, it's TikTok.
Okay.
They're videos. That's
okay.
All. So it's like, do you remember Vine?
Yes, I do remember Vine.
I was a Vine star at one point.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. But this reminds me of Vine, but, like, not at the same time. So... TikTok's an app that does short videos and stuff, and I started doing some digging in TikTok, and I had one of the fans chimed in, and they texted me, and they said, have you heard about the witches on TikTok that are trying to, like, hex the moon and the sun? No, I have not. So I took a dive right in, and this is the breaking news I have for you guys right now. Apparently, there is a group of witches on the TikTok-verse.
TikTok.
They call themselves Witch Talk.
Okay.
Which is fine. Again, Bob After Dark is very friendly towards the witch community. Some of our biggest supporters are of the witchy persuasion.
Except the Gary Witch, who has a thing against you right now.
Oh, they have a thing against me.
Well, she does. That the fact that you called her out as being maybe a scam.
Okay. the legitimate witchy community, you know, we're fans. We hang out. We bowl on the same bowling team, right?
Yeah.
I'm not calling out the witch community because that would be silly, because I am very much involved in that life. I'm all about it. I'm a big supporter. But the witch talk community have decided that they were going to hex the moon and the sun to kill all the fae. Because apparently the fae is completely, they're just completely evil. And, I mean, I don't see how you hexing the sun or the moon are going to solve any problems that you might be having, because the fae exist in a universe that's not our own. And a lot of times they're as friendly as can be. We do Fae Lore Month here on the show.
Yeah.
And so you decided you're going to hex our sun and moon to get rid of it. And, you know, they put out a little disclaimer saying that Apollo and Artemis, which are the twins that would represent sun and moon, that they are not going to be hurt or harmed during this. And most of the witch community have stepped out to say this is completely dangerous, which it very much is. You don't need to be messing around with certain magics on that kind of level, because let me tell you, right, you can believe in what you want to believe in. That's fine. Welcome to Bob After Dark. But man, when you start messing around with like energy manipulations on a cosmic scale, and you not knowing exactly what you're doing, and that's what most of the witchy community have stepped out to say. There's also apparently some sort of 30-year-old man on Twitter who claims to be a demigod, saying he's a part of the moon hexing.
Okay. And this is all happening at once.
This is all happening at once, and this has been going on and on and on, and it's an absolute nightmare. And one, the Fae exist on a plane that's not ours. They have their own rules, their own laws, and, you know, you learn how to deal with them. You learn how to live in coherence with them, and that's just the way it is. People mm-hmm. for thousands of years.
They do it in Alabama. Don't they? They live in
Mobile.
Harmony.
Yeah, in Mobile, yeah. You know, you don't decide you're going to hex our sun and moon for that, because you're not doing anything. The certain gentleman who says he's a demigod who's, you know, aiding in this kind of in this cursing, I'm going to say you're messing with some nasty business. Like, not only are you going to be upsetting the Fae, but you're going to be upsetting the natural order of, you know, existence, and you're going to be messing with just bad stuff. I can't stress this enough. If you are in the witchy persuasion, then you know this is crazy, and I haven't looked over at my chat yet, but I do know that I have several fans that are of the witchy persuasion watching and chatting right now, and I the few people I've seen chime in saying they caused the they're causing the COVID, and you know, if 2020 wasn't bad enough,
never
I see James and Pat. Yeah, that's just bad. So look, guys, listen to me. If you want to be a part of the witch community and you're a part of TikTok, great. Don't start messing with things that you have no business messing with, and the greater heavenly bodies, probably things that you shouldn't be messing with.
Like, you don't mess with Mother Nature.
Exactly. Yeah. Mother Nature is a living, breathing entity. Yeah. You don't hex Mother Nature, and you don't hex, you know, the giant fireball in the sky that gives us life. That's bad.
So is this going to be done in the next hour? I mean,
well, they've been working on it, apparently, and now this 30-year-old demigod says he's now fully a part of it, and he wants to also destroy the Fae by hexing the sun and the moon.
Well, we better get on to with the show.
That's what we're getting on. So that's just breaking news on Bob After Dark. I by the end of next week, I'll be on TikTok myself.
Oh,
and maybe I can save the world, if you will.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast version of the show, that means everything turned out fine for a time being. We're still here if you hear the complete show. If you don't hear the complete show, then something likely happened during the show, sadly.
Sadly.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're good. We're good. And if you can't tell, I totally forgot all of my charms at home. I'm kind of naked right now around the neck.
Yeah.
So we're going to be surviving on our wits here, Count. We're going to be drawing runes on the windows. I'll carve them in there if we have to.
Do
don't
that.
Worry.
Yeah.
Well, I'll protect this, Count. Don't worry.
Thank you.
So that's just the first. That's my breaking news. I don't share breaking news very often.
Breaking news.
All right, let's dive into the first, well, I guess the second news story.
Yeah.
This one comes to us from Bobby. He shared this on the Children of the Night Facebook page, which is a Bob After Dark fan group page led by Becky Hoffman and James Breha. They, you guys can join. It's a lot of fun. I share a lot of paranormal fashion things on there, which I'm a big fan of. There was a Bigfoot Hawaiian shirt that mm-hmm. was just shared, and they gave the LGBTQ plus community Mothman support pin. Go on there. It's a lot of fun. We have fun with it.
And,
yeah, so Bobby shares this article that is about a new Ghost Hunter TV show starring the great duo of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost of Shaun of the Dead fame.
Yeah.
They're taking taking on a new thing for an Amazon series called Truth Seekers, and it's a horror comedy that follows a couple misfit ghost hunters who are on a journey to uncover and document ghost sightings for their online channel.
Oh, sounds great.
So it's not going to be your run-of-the-mill paranormal show. It's satire of paranormal
shows.
Of course,
with those two, yes.
But we're at the point now, and we stress this a lot on the show, of paranormal shows, and you know, you turn on the Travel Channel now, that's all you get. So we're at the point now where we're gonna get parodies, which I am all for. You know, I tell everybody when they watch the show, they say you take it serious, but you have a real good human tone to it. And I said, absolutely, I'm dealing with people that are trying to hex the moon and the sun.
Some people, like,
you have to have a sense of humor. Yeah. And I mean, we deal with a lot, you know, we're metaphysical counselors in a way, you know, we're not only helping deal with alive problems, we're dealing with dead problems. And, you know, when you take all of that stuff home with you, you have to have some sort of sense of humor. And I think the show is exactly what the paranormal community needs, because I need to be able to sit back and relax and watch something. They're not saying when the show is coming out, but I am all for the series. I love these two, Shaun of the Dead and
Hot Fuzz,
yeah. And then the World's End, the bar crawl movie.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah,
I absolutely adore these two, and I think this is going to do really good. They're saying right now the series is bought for 8 30-minute episodes. So that'll be your first season.
And when does this come out?
They haven't put out a date yet, but it's coming out soon.
Stay posted.
And it's going.
Hopefully it happens, because with this whole thing, TikTok ending the Earth thing, I hope we get to see it.
Hopefully. Yeah. This next story, and that was actually shared to us by Bobby, and I'll get to how you guys can get your shout-outs on the show as well. This next story comes to us from Whitney, who I think Whitney holds the record for most articles ever shared on the show, her and Becky.
Okay.
Whitney sends me an article like every week, and it's always, Whitney's like this really like level-headed human being, so she always sends me things that are like science-based. So most of my science news comes from Whitney, and she sends this in and says, it's a cosmic mystery. An integral high-energy space observatory detected a unique fast radio burst from a dead star in our galaxy. Basically, there's a group of telescopes and whatnot, and a group of people that study these things called the ESA, and they're saying that they found a unique radiation bursting from the dead star in the galaxy, and they have no idea why it's still producing radio signals like that, because when a star's dead, I mean, it might produce an afterburst, right? But it's not going to continuously pump out a radio signal. And that's just really weird. So maybe it was an SOS signal, right?
Think so.
Maybe.
Huh.
Could have been from something like nearby the star that went up with it and said, hey, please help if you're hearing this. And we're just now picking up on it. And speaking of things outside of our reality, sending out SOS signals, probably the biggest news I'll be talking about tonight is one that I'm surprised isn't getting more national attention than what it is. This is probably one of the most important news articles I'm ever going to share on the show.
It's a big news. I thought the apocalyptic thing at the beginning of the show would have been the biggest news items, but this is bigger.
The Pentagon has officially kind of basically announced, it was a Pentagon UFO unit and they are basically publicly releasing some findings after an ex-official says an off-world vehicle has been found.
Amazing. Now, this is big. This is people don't understand that this is pretty darn big here.
Yeah, I shared it like as soon as Steve sent this in to me, like as soon as it broke, and he said, man, if this is true...
They're confirming it, basically.
They're basically confirming... Like, over this year, we've heard a lot of, oh, you know, the Pentagon, and since we've actually started the show, there's been a lot of Pentagon has been hinting at UFO, you know, actual things, but we've never been able to actually say they're extraterrestrials. Like, the big article a couple months ago was... You know, they basically said that UFOs exist, but we don't know what they are. And now they're saying that they're coming from off world.
And I'll start with that guy from Blink 182, too.
Yeah, man. Tom. Yeah. Tom DeLonge, listen, if you're listening right now,
get him on.
Or if somebody out there in the whole Bob After Dark universe, if they can get Tom DeLonge to come on this show, Tom, I'll give you the full hour of the show to talk about whatever you want. I know I've heard your interviews on other podcasts and stuff, and they ridicule you. I won't even say a word. I'll just give you the opportunity to speak. Blink's my favorite band in the world. I loved Angels and Airwaves and all the other stuff he's up to. Tom could just talk. I'll just interject once in a while. Listen, Tom DeLonge, I will give you a place where you could speak freely and not feel like you're being persecuted.
There you have it.
Facts.
Open challenge.
Open challenge. Well, it's an open invitation.
Open
it's
invitation. Not a challenge. You're not going to wrestle him, are you?
So.
Well, that is big. Now, here's the thing. Remember, I feel like this is kind of all revved up from that one situation we had where we were going to storm Area 51 because they couldn't stop us all. I think after that, they were like, you know what? They're gonna keep catching on to us, and that's where we're at today, Bob, with them kind of confirming that there are UFOs.
They're basically admitting that things that they have found, and this is actually a direct quote from a Pentagon consultant and subcontractor said they were talking about this thing they found, and he just said we couldn't make it ourselves.
Interesting.
Interesting doesn't come close, Colin. Yeah. Like, this is insane.
Do you think the fact that we're living in a 2020 where everything's...
It doesn't surprise me.
But, like, for people like this, like, oh, okay, UFOs. They're like, any other year they've been a bit big breaking news, excited about it. But now 2020, all this pandemic stuff, we're like, oh, okay, aliens, I guess we could believe in them now.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, well...
It's there.
And look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This isn't that kind of show. But I've talked to people who are like, do you actually believe this is going on? You know, is it something that they're just kind of throwing us off trails? And I said, you know what? Regardless of what it is, it's huge. This is and for it literally being probably one of the biggest discoveries in literally of all time, it's not getting reported on much. I mean, New York Times covered it. And I mean, I've seen it floating around the internet. But you would think like this is something you would break... Breaking news on every channel. This is huge.
Big.
I mean, I don't really know what to say. I mean, there's the articles here, you know, I could explain it, but I don't really think I could give it justice. I shared the article on the Children of the Night page. You guys got to go read it. They have a video of a pilot just talking about what they found, and it's jaw-dropping, and it blows my mind to think like this is happening in 2020. I mean, that doesn't surprise me, but man, we are right now at the cusp and the closest we've ever been to legitimate proof that there's life outside of Earth. I didn't need proof because I believed it, but now we're at the point and it's like, oh.
You're going to be foolish not to believe it pretty soon.
You're going to be at the point where the conspiracy theory is that the extraterrestrials don't exist. Mm. Then I guess that would be like the full circle of conspiracy, right?
Yep. It's happening. But like I said, 2020 should be a bigger news story. But I think with everything going on, it's just kind of like, it's there. But still very, very cool nonetheless. So hopefully the apocalypse doesn't come that quickly so we could discover more aliens out there.
Absolutely. So let's... we're going to wrap up the news stories there. That's the first time we've ever had four. I've always had three. But
the one was breaking.
I had to break the news that there's a group of people on TikTok trying to end the universe.
Currently, right now.
Currently, as we speak, they're trying to end the world.
Wow. And this is from all over TikTok, or is this just one general area?
I think
right
this
now?
is a subcategory to the subcategory. Okay.
All right.
So we talked about it, you know, there's the witch talkers, I think that's what they call them, this witch ticks, whatever the, I just said their little, the sub-community of the witch community is, which I've seen those videos. We have friends of Bob After Dark that run those types of videos, and they're great. They're fantastic bits of media that we have for the witchy community to kind of step out and be comfortable coming out of the broom closet, if you will. It's a phrase we use. And it's really cool to see that. And then there's a subcategory where those people are trying to hex the moon, and it's like, can we not mess with the great cosmos?
Oh.
We have a caller.
Yeah, we got John on the line here.
Hi, John, you're on the air.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How are you tonight?
Oh, hey there, John. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm trying to follow your breaking news. Uh-huh. The hexes? Hexes of the moon and the sun?
Yes.
So I guess the definition of hexing would be casting a spell, more or less?
Yeah.
So what are these hexes trying to accomplish?
They're trying to get the they're basically trying to kill the Fae, which is the fairies from what we talked about in the March, and they think by hexing the sun and the moon that it'll end them.
And you think this is possible?
Well, John, I believe anything's possible in the world of the world we live in. Energy manipulation is a very much real thing, and I think that's what magic is when you boil it down to it. And I think it's the same thing as, if you know, prayers and stuff like that. It's all energy manipulation. It's what you put into it, right, and what you get out of it. Now, sometimes that's answered by, you know, some greater power, a deity, whatever it is that you want to use. If you want to use the term God, you know, I know you're Catholic, and it's where I grew up too, so we'll use that. Whether it be God that's doing it, or a God that somebody else believes in, or whoever it might be, that might be granting it. And to some people, they don't need a deity to kind of bless them with the ability. Some think that they're just, you know, going to accomplish the energy manipulation on their own, and more the power to them for believing that. I believe it. I truly think that there's a potential for anything out there in the world, John, because we live in a really weird place.
They believe they have the ability, obviously. So why today are they starting to, do this manipulation and stuff?
That's a good question, John, and I don't really have an answer for you, because, oh my God, okay, guys, real quick, John, hold on 1 second. My heart is like sinking into my chest.
Somebody's shooting off fireworks right behind me.
Somebody
you,
is shooting off fireworks literally right behind me in my studio.
It might be those Fae.
The Fae are welcome in here. They're welcome to come in the studio if they need to hide.
You talked about the TikTokers. This
I
might
guess
be it.
This might be it. Jeez.
Yeah, this might be it.
Sorry, John, but no, I don't really know.
Really, hey, I'm really sorry I called now and caused trouble.
No, and that's that's absolutely.
No. I'm. You know what? This was not a hoax. I did not put anybody in work there while I called, and not looking good now, Bob.
Well, no, John, and I don't really have an answer for you on why they're doing it now, and they don't speak for the entirety of the witch community. They just don't, and that's most of the witch community are kind of condemning that, because in a lot of their cases, they're using the sun and the moon as tools for their own magics and energy manipulation. So the fact that other people are trying to hex this more or less a metaphysical public domain thing, these fireworks are scary.
They're still going off, yeah. It's right behind you, too.
Oh, geez. Well, John, I hope I answered your questions.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to follow it, Bob, and you have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Bob. We'll see you.
Thank you so much. And it's, I can't believe people are laying off fireworks right behind me.
I'm not sure.
We're recording this, what is this, July 28th?
29th,
whatever it is. All right. So that's where we're at right now.
You want me to go outside and stop it?
Can you go out there and tell them to stop?
I'll wear my cape and just...
Just go out there and be like, stop.
Because from where we're sitting right now, it's really a couple blocks behind you right there.
That sounds like literally they're lighting it off on the street behind
us. They heard you talking about the apocalypse,
I guess. Yeah. All right, so let's dive into a newer segment we have on the show. This is where I read your spooky stories that we get from you, the fans, and to get my two cents. This was actually written to us from a fan in Pennsylvania by the name of Josh. Are you ready, Count Payne?
I'm ready, Josh. Let it roll.
And I'll be reading this word for word. I did scan it for any swear words, and if I come across one, I will skip over it. But there's just no swearing on the show. Dear Bob, my fellow friend of which that goes bump in the night. Man, that's a good way to start a letter. I would like to tell you my story of one of the most frightening encounters I ever experienced. First, I wanted to give you a little background on myself. My name is Joshua Yoder, and being a Yoder, or Yoder, parts of Pennsylvania Dutch culture, so it'd be definitely Yoder, parts of the Pennsylvania Dutch culture were all around growing up. My grandmother used to talk of our line through her grandmother as being able to sense things because she was born with a veil over her face, meaning that she was born with the placenta lining over the newborn. And in fact, into adolescence, I thought I had, in fact, some sort of disorder. The sleep paralysis, outer body experiences, strange figures in my room. What once terrified me became a strength as I learned how to control and harness things that once held me hostage. At this point in my life, I've encountered many things and even of years worked in the haunted Eastern State Penitentiary during their nighttime attraction. That is a whole different story of voices, shadows, and apparitions. Well, I'd love to hear more about that, Josh. When walking alone down the abandoned off-limits cell blocks and you start to see the movement, I learned to just say, just doing my job, guys, and that's a good way of putting it, Josh, and keep on going. All of this I tell you to set a groundwork saying that these things don't scare me anymore. I approach more so these days with a fascination and understanding. It takes a lot to spook me. That being said, Bob, man, look at this. Josh's letter is very poignant. It's like, what's up, Bob?
And he
refers to me as
Bob. Get into the point.
I like it.
He's like, Bob.
Bob, let's talk. That being said, Bob, I send you this story because it has to do with Mothman.
There you go.
Always comes back to Mothman. I've been going to Point Pleasant for the past 8 years for the festivals and also in the off seasons at times. Something about the first festival, he's referring to the Mothman Fest, by the way, first festival made me fall under the spell this tiny town had in the middle of nowhere. Over the years, I have made friends with the locals, including a local high school, now college student, who showed me all the ins and outs of the TNT area. That's so cool. That the locals knew about but were beyond the areas of tourist bunkers in the old government complex that virtually every visitor's photographs to the area. Hidden cemeteries, bunker remains that have exploded, and tales long lost through the complex, we have done it all. I walked in the steps of John Keel, which we're going to get to in another episode, and at that point can navigate the area with the best of them. We even explored the area in headlamps up until 4 a.m. in the rain so long when I got back to the hotel, the soles of my shoes fell off. Basically, yeah, I know the area pretty well for an out-of-towner, and I've had no problem with being on my own in any part of that complex at any point in the event. This story begins on a Monday after the festival when all the tourists have left the town and is as quiet as a mouse again. It's usually pretty eerie around that time if you stay behind and you get to see what the sleep town of Point Pleasant really is essentially when the lights turn off. So this morning I decided to check out a geocache hidden in one of the structures that I have yet to find in my travels. It was in an area I knew well near an abandoned warehouse and maybe 700 feet from where the facility powerhouse once stood that was noted in Keel's book. I drove past the town into the outside lands maybe 10 minutes out that contained the complex. Up Camp Connolly Road, the site of the mass UFO sightings of the Mothman time, I parked my car and headed up through the overgrown trail that would bring me out to one of the concrete skeleton structures now taken by nature that would have been used for loading and offloading supplies. I eased through the debris of the rotting timers to easily find the geocache. This was all in broad daylight. As you do with these things when you do find them, you write your name, exchange some swag, log your find. It was in the middle of something like a surge of physical energy hit me in an instant, and I felt like I was being watched or observed by something I could not see. The feeling was so profound and intense it virtually made me paralyzed at the moment. That feeling kept building as I stood there until something like an internal voice that isn't heard but felt and understood said, "You need to leave now." As I fumbled to replace the items to secure the catch to keep repeating, "Leave now. Now. Now." As I quickly bolted from the structure towards the path where my car, it was distinctly like a clock clocking down and clicking down to 10, clicking down from 10 to 0. And at the same time, something was intensifying all around me as something was going to happen, and I was in a great danger if I stayed. I bolted to my car and literally sped away. I have been back to Mothman and all these areas several times over since then. But this event on a September morning 4 years ago has stuck out to me as one of the most profound and terrifying things I have ever experienced. No ghosts or voice whispered in my ear, but every moment to this day of those 10 minutes or so, I can play back in my head over and over again. What do I think? I think and have always thought that the Point Pleasant, more specifically the TNT area, is an area where the line across the veil between our realities are thin. I think that for the first time in my life, I got a little too close to that convergence. Some of the most profound things in our universe are not yet seen. That's a really good quote. Remember that, Count Parent. We're stealing that for a bumper sticker. Some of the most profound things in our universe are not seen but felt, and this experience has never been replicated before and after. Stay spooky, kiddos, and when something tells you to run, run. Love, Josh.
How about that?
That was an intense story. Do we have a caller?
We do.
Let's take the caller, and then we're going to get to the letter.
Sure. We have Big Frank Sausage, Stan Stefanski.
Hey, Stan, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, not bad. Stan, how's the sausage business?
Everything is going good. I'm driving back from the restaurant, and I got a question for you. I'm a big science nut myself.
Ah, hit me.
Okay, NASA's going to be sending another rover out, and they're trying to search for life. I guess they're digging in for microbiology life. Question for you. It's not when we discover microbiology, whatever you want to call it, how is that going to change our philosophy on religion in this country and in the world when we discover that there's been life in this solar system that has existed and could be in possibly other places in the solar system? What is the philosophy of religion and how we think of life as it is on Earth when we discovered that there is smaller organisms or other organisms that have lived in the past?
Sure.
So what is going to happen when we discover this?
That's a great question, Stan. I really appreciate that. And that's something I've always pondered myself because I'm a studier of many religions, and I don't necessarily think we have to think that religion is gone in any fact, whether you be witch or Catholic or, you know, Judaism, whatever it is that you believe in. Just because creation was found outside of this little ball that we call home doesn't mean that we can't say that creation was found elsewhere. I mean, you got to think, well, I'll just use Catholicism, Christianity as a standpoint because it's the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, God created everything, right? And just because we find creation outside of this doesn't mean that God didn't create creation elsewhere. That's just insane to me to think. If creation is everlasting and ever longing and ever growing, there's no such reason to believe that there wasn't creation made outside of this. And I think maybe it'll change some people's minds and make them non-believers, but I don't see how, and I, you know, it's a good question, but I realistically, I don't see how it could change anything, you know, because let's say we find microbiology or we find a full-fledged, like, terrestrial, right? We're talking like something, you know, humanoid or whatever it might be, something intelligent life. Who is to say that they're not believing in something very similar to what we believe in? Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that's just where I'm at. I'm not necessarily going to say that it's going to change how we think. It'll change how we think as far as thinking that we're the only things here, because clearly that's wrong. But as far as how we believe in creation, that doesn't change anything because everybody has beliefs at the end of the day. And just because these things existed out there doesn't mean they weren't created by creator or whatever it is that you want to call it.
Okay, so the only reason I'm asking is that when I was in college and I studied a class called World Religions, and it kind of opened up my eye about a lot of things. The thing is this, man created religion for a reason. I mean, it's to control society, to make sure everybody's behaving correctly and that. But the thing is again, it may not be in my lifetime, but there's going to be a time where we discover that there is life in other places in the universe. Okay, so what we're practicing right now is that Jesus came down, if I'm Catholic, and we follow the Christianity. But it's going to change. It's going to be a big impact. Could you imagine if we discovered that there was alien life forms on Mars? You know, they're sending a rover out. It's just a matter of time that
sure.
they find out.
Absolutely.
You know, everything's going to change. I mean, our whole philosophy on life is going to change when we find out there was ancient life in other places.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, and I'm curious to see what will happen. And maybe things will turn up. Maybe it won't. But we'll see how people change. I mean, realistically, people are going to still believe what they want to believe in, and whether or not we find life, I don't know if that'll change things or not. But at the end of the day, I've always been a firm believer, is just be a good person, and there you go, and the rest will probably
exactly.
be figured
live,
out.
Live your life to the best, you know. I don't know, yeah, and here's the thing, I'm 52 years old, and I've been hoping for the longest time that we send people down to Mars, but I don't think that's ever going to happen in my lifetime. Maybe it will happen, I don't know how old you are, maybe it will happen in your lifetime. But the way things are going with the coronavirus and everything else, it's putting a halt on, you know, a lot of things that progress, basically. But I would love to see mankind land on Mars at this point.
It'd be great to see, Stan, and maybe we'll see it in your lifetime. I hope so. You deserve it. You sound like you're a man ready for it.
Yeah, let's get Elon Musk going and let's send someone to Mars. How about that?
Sounds good. Count Panic, you volunteer, right?
I'm going to go, and I'm going to take the first Polish sausage to Mars, too, as
the
well.
The first vampire
right.
to Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Give him a big Frank's Polish to the first Martian that you see.
I will. That'll be the first Polish sausage delivered to Mars. Probably the last Polish sausage.
Thanks for calling in, Stan. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Stan.
Thank you. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, so that was Stan calling in about a religious changes and feels, which is a good question.
Yeah.
Let's dive back into Josh's letter real fast.
Yeah.
Getting mixed up. Josh lays a really good, you know, real good, like, setting there. He really dives deep into what's going on. And Point Pleasant is considered one of those places, and we haven't talked about Point Pleasant. I promise it's coming. We haven't talked about Point Pleasant and the high strangeness that happens in that place. We haven't talked about Mothman yet, but there's a lot of weird that goes on there, right? And they, you know, it's what some researchers call a window. And it's very a window between worlds. And it's very possible that that's where all this is coming from, Mothman included. And it's very possible that what Josh happened upon was a very thin line that he crossed, that he wasn't supposed to be there. And maybe it wasn't Mothman related telling him to go back. That could have been just Josh's spiritual guide or whatever you want to call it, telling him to stay away. And that's probably not a good place for you. You know, there's a good lesson to be heard about things that you hear that are telling you to stay back or protect yourself, whatever. It's not always necessarily to, you know, try to keep you away from things, but just to maybe warn you. So maybe there was a warning that Josh was getting about the area that he was in.
Now, has Mothman been known to talk to people before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I know people have sightings of Mothman, but I just know if Mothman was an entity that speaks
Man,
to you.
I don't want to dive into this because I'm just going to be like, we're done with the notes. Let's talk about Mothman.
Okay. But he speaks to people.
Yeah, he does. Okay. I promise you either my 50th episode on the podcast, our 2-year anniversary, or my birthday, whatever we decide to do, my birthday episode, whatever we decide to do there, we're going to do the Mothman episode.
We're bringing him in, too.
I would be thrilled if we were able to bring in the Mothman.
How hard is he to contact? Does he have a publicist?
I don't know, Count. Okay. It's not as simple as contacting Bob from Bob After Dark, which is how I want you guys to do. Do you have a spooky story of yourself that you want to share with us? Do you have a paranormal sighting or a cryptid thing or lights in the sky, anything like that? Share it with us. You can email it at bob@bobafterdark.com. You can send us a message on the Instagram at bobafterdark, or you can send us a message on the Bob After Dark Facebook page, and you can remain anonymous. It's completely fine. Absolutely fine. I don't have to say who you are. You can make up a pen name if you want. You could just say anonymous. I want to hear your stories, because Bob After Dark despite the name, saying, Bob back there, the show's not about me. It's about you guys. It's about the weird world we live in and the other things that might be out there. And part of what shapes those stories are you and your traditions and your family stories and your family history and your, you know, those. That's what builds culture. That's what builds these things that are going to long last after the show is gone, after I'm dead. And those are the types of things that people need to be hearing. So please share your stories with us. I want to share them and cultivate them and grow them into the trees that they deserve to be.
There you go.
All right, Count Panic, why don't we take a quick break here on the live show, on the podcast. Stay tuned, because you're going to hear some words from a podcast you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Hello, Count.
Hey, Bob. Great break we had there.
How was your break?
Yeah, you know, went to the bathroom, made some coffee. Now we're back.
Now you're back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Count.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back, Bob.
It's good to be back. Hey, Count.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I have a question for you, Count.
What's up?
What do you suppose a curse is?
A curse?
A curse.
Well, I think it's when you cause some trouble there, Bob, and somebody doesn't take too kindly to it, then just like that, they put a curse upon you.
You know, you're close. A curse is a hard thing to describe, and it kind of ties into the hexing of the sun and move we talked about earlier in the show, right? A curse is basically an idea that you're going to manipulate energy negatively to make something negative happen to a person, thing, place, in this case, something that will, you know, the piece of media. A few weeks ago on Bob After Dark, on the podcast version, before I was back into the studio, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought there. Okay. Back a couple weeks ago on the podcast version of Bob After Dark, we talked about, is it possible for a haunted piece of media to exist? I'm not talking about a cursed movie set, which is what we're talking about this week. But back then we talked about a physical haunted entity, living on a piece of media. So you turn on Castaway, and all of a sudden Tom Hanks isn't the only one on the island, or Wilson starts talking to you just in that specific VHS tape. And with the help of several people, I was able to come up with the conclusion that no, I don't think that an entity can haunt a singular piece of media. It can haunt the physical embodiment of the media. It can haunt the VHS tape, but the physical media that exists inside of it, we determined that it can't. And I really want you guys to go watch that episode of Bob After Dark. I'm very proud of that episode. That was a couple weeks ago. This week, I wanted to kind of follow up on that. I wanted to talk about, is it possible for a movie set to be cursed?
Oh, I hear what you're saying here, Bob. So stuff that happens on sets that's, well, really not that right there. Some odd things indeed.
Yes.
Curses.
And curses.
Yes.
Which is what I feel like sometimes we have in this WJOB studio.
Sometimes.
Sometimes when I'm going after we do sound checks and I go live and I have no voice.
You're plugged into something else there.
I'm plugged into something else or whatever it might be. You know, it's at the end of the day, I could sum up a curse as it's just revenge or mischievous doings when you manipulate energy on a person, place, or thing, or an idea, I guess. And in this case, it would be an idea and a place. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I have three movies I want to talk about.
And these are sets.
These are movie sets. Mm. Not I'm going to rent a copy of one of the three movies we talk about. And like in The Ring, some ghost girl is going to pop out from behind me in the TV and, you know, kill me. I'm talking about unfortunate events that happened on movie sets that may seem like a curse. Hmm. And why would somebody curse these movie sets?
Okay.
That is, that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Okay.
And I see Lisa chimed in the chat with the Omen, and the Omen is definitely one of them. But let's, Omen is not one of the ones we're talking about this week, but Omen was definitely a cursed movie set. I'm sure I'll do a second part to this series. But the first thing I wanted to talk about was a film, maybe you've seen it, Count Panic. It's a little film called Poltergeist.
Ah, yes, a classic there.
Yes, it was a movie directed by Tobe Hooper and produced by Steven Spielberg and came out on June 4th, 1982. And unfortunately, during the filming of Poltergeist, there was a lot of unfortunate mishaps and unfortunate events. The first one, probably the first few that I'm going to be mentioning, are horribly tragic events. One is the unfortunate passing of Heather O'Rourke, or the little girl who played in Poltergeist. She had the famous line when she was looking at the TV set and said, "We're here. We're here." No, they're here. Sorry, they're here. You know that
one. Yeah, classic line.
In 1987, she was unfortunately misdiagnosed with Crohn's disease. Mm. And died a year later from incognital ingestional abnormality. And you might say, okay, well, I mean, that's really unfortunate. It's a really tragic event, but, you know, how could that be linked back to the movie? Well, Dominic Dunn, who played the older sister in Poltergeist, was unfortunately strangled by her ex-boyfriend in 1982.
Hmm.
Julian Beck, who played the evil preacher in Poltergeist 2, died of stomach cancer. And Will Sampson, who played one of the native shaman in the film series, died during a lung heart transplant.
Mm, that seems like a curse set to me, Bob. I mean, from just there, that's how many people?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's like 4 deaths. Mm. Not to mention it was not an easy movie to film. A lot of bad things happened during that set. And I mean, a lot of those can be just chalked up to technical mishaps. My skeptical community right now is probably screaming at their, you know, their screens. No, that it can't be right. Well, I might have an explanation on why this film set was cursed. Now, the actress who played the wife in Poltergeist said many years later that the reason why all these unfortunate events were happening on the set of Poltergeist is because, apparently, and to my knowledge, this hasn't been proven true or false yet, but apparently Steven Spielberg used real skeletons during the filming of Poltergeist because it was cheaper and look more realistic than fake skeletons.
So it's cheaper to get real skeletons than maybe go out to a Halloween store, Spirit Halloween or whatever was back around then, and get the fake skeletons. So
and they also looked hokey. Fake skeletons weren't really perfected until, you know, recently-ish.
Hmm.
We talked a couple weeks ago on the Disney episode of talking about the haunted parks in Disney, or the Disney parks haunted. And one of the claims of facts that were brought up by Steve was that in the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride, all the skeletons you would see, for the most part, were actually real human skeletons because they looked real. They didn't look hokey and fake like a Halloween prop, like not like Woofy by any means, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And those were living, breathing people at one point.
So you're saying this is all Spielberg's fault for getting these real skeletons?
I mean, it was never confirmed nor denied that Spielberg used real corpses during the event. And maybe that's where the curse came from. Maybe spirit of one of the people that were in the movie. And they said they were replaced with fake ones later, Jesse chimed in about. And thank you, Jesse. I appreciate that. So, I mean, maybe that's why there was a curse. I mean, the subject matter doesn't help either. You know, they were talking about building over an ancient Native American burial ground. So, I mean, there's a lot to that that builds up to it, right? So, I mean, it's possible that maybe the content of the movie it angered somebody and they decided to put a curse on it. Maybe it's the fact that they used real skeletons in the filming of it and they were replaced with fake ones. Maybe that angered whatever was there and it was looking for its moment in the sun. You know, you got to ask yourself, why would somebody curse this film? It by no means was Poltergeist the first horror film. There was horror films existing long before that. And I mean, it touched on some touchy subject matter. But there were definitely movies that were way more risque than Poltergeist. I'm not downplaying Poltergeist, by the way. It's a really good movie. It's in my favorites. But why would somebody curse it? Or why is there a curse upon that film? It's a mystery. And I mean, to the right skeptical person, maybe there's no curse to this film. It's possible. But it's kind of ironic that all of these bad things happen. And I mean, in the case of like Julian Beck and Will Sampson, I mean, those deaths were tragic of themselves. You got to think, like, that little girl, she was young, and the older sister, mm-hmm. yep. Dominique, she died of strangulation from an ex-boyfriend. That's pretty horrendous stuff. And it's, thank you, Andy chimed in and said he looked it up. So, I mean, it's a very big possibility. If you guys are more interested about the Poltergeist episode, the Poltergeist thing, Ghostly Podcast did an episode specifically dedicated to the Poltergeist curse. So check that one out. I don't remember what episode number it is. Pat, if you're still listening, if you could chime in and let people know where Link is, I will definitely throw that in the show notes. The second story I want.
Oh, wait, hold on here, Bob.
Hit me.
I have a take on this.
Oh, I didn't even ask you your takes during the news segment.
Well, I kind of was giving my takes.
Okay. Hashtag panics take.
I just want to know, Bob, where did they find these skeletons once again? I mean, where did he.
You can buy, like, skeletons, to my knowledge, even back when Disney bought them to use in Pirates of the Caribbean, you could just buy them from the School of Science, just outright.
Really?
Yes. People donated their bodies and whatnot, so I mean.
I didn't know. I thought that was for, like.
You can't do it now.
Yeah. I thought that was for science, not to be a movie prop.
No, like you could just buy them.
Interesting.
You know, science prop, science experiments. Not science experiments. I mean, yeah, too, but, like, skeletons you see in classrooms and stuff, those, you know, some, if they're not plaster molds, those are real people at one point that just donated their bodies. And, I mean, sometimes maybe they got them by mischievous means.
Gravediggers. You think absolutely. Steven Spielberg went out there and dug some graves?
I'm not saying Steven Spielberg dug any graves. Oh, okay. Let's not put words in my mouth.
He's listening right now.
He might be. Yeah. Hi, Mr. Spielberg. Sponsor us.
Put us in a movie.
Put us in a movie. The Bob After Dark movie.
Yeah.
I have to get you back to Transylvania and I ride a bike. I put you in like my basket.
But they're going to replace us with like A-listers. So it'll be like Brad Pitt and
Seth Rogen.
Yes.
That's how I always imagine playing me in the Bob After Dark movie. I'd have
okay,
Seth
fine.
Rogen,
there we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah. The second movie is the film Rosemary's Baby.
Ah.
Released in 1968 and directed by Roman Polanski. This movie had a series of unfortunate events dating back to the author of the original book that wrote Rosemary's Baby. Yeah, Mike, I said that Michael Meisner's in the chat, and he says,
cheaper.
Much cheaper. And, yeah it's way cheaper. I said that earlier, I think. And then James says, most of the skeletons in Pirates of the Caribbean are fake. All of the skeletons in Pirates of the Caribbean now are fake, except one, and you can find that out by listening to the Bob After Dark Disney World special.
Oh, so there's one skeleton in there.
There's only one, and you can find that out by looking to the, you can go on and check out that episode. It's on the podcast.
Is it Walt Disney's?
No. But, however, Walt Disney might still be hanging around.
You're
Disney
right.
World. But you can find it out from listening to the episode.
I wasn't there.
No, you can listen to the episode.
I'm going to listen to it right now.
Don't go, no, you're working right
okay,
now.
After this.
After the, okay. So Rosemary's Baby was released in 1968 and directed by Roman Polanski. And this had a series of unfortunate events, starting with the composer Kometa, who died of being in a 4-month-long coma after falling down a series of rocks, which, ironically, was the same way that Rosemary's inquisitive friend died in the book due to the, I'm going to use the word witch coven because that's what it was in Rosemary's Baby, but, you know, we're there's no bad talks about the witch covens because there's nothing bad to say. But in the book Rosemary's Baby, those cultists killed Rosemary's friend, spoilers, but in the same sort of way. I apologize, guys. And I apologize for him for not being able to pronounce that. I don't know what's wrong with me. But I digress. The composer of the film died, and he was hailed as a prodigy. He died really young. And this was like one of his first major big breakout like composing pieces. And people said he had such a bright future ahead of him. And if he was still alive, he would have been making, he would have been making scores probably in the same kind of regard as John Williams or Alan Silverstreet, which couple of my favorite movie composers, but I digress. I mean, he had a really prominent future ahead of him and just died from a drunken stupor and fell down some rocks and ended up in a coma. The producer William Castle suffered from a severe kidney stone and nearly died in the hospital during that time. But what messed him up the most was during his time in the hospital, he hallucinated that Rosemary would come to him to his bed during his slumber, wake him up, and William would scream out into the empty room, into the hospital, "Rosemary, drop the knife! Drop the knife!" And he hallucinated that, and when he came out of the hospital, William Castle was never the same, lost his mind, and when he came back to Hollywood, never made a hit ever since.
Curse.
Finally.
Oh, there's more.
Two more things.
Jeez.
There is the story of Roman Polanski and the unfortunate happenings of Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
I'm not a true crime podcast, so I'll touch on it briefly. Sharon Tate was Roman Polanski's lover. She was pregnant. She was going to have Roman Polanski's baby, and she was killed by the Manson family. And, it's a horrendous crime. It goes down in history as one of the, most brutal celebrity killings of all time. And it's a tragedy story of itself. And, Roman Polanski does his things after that happened. And, that whole big nightmare occurred because of it.
All spawned from that one movie here. There's
more.
There's more.
So the writer of the film was named Ira Levin, I-R-A-L-E-V-I-N, which, by the way, I'll go back and spell the composer's name for you guys. K-R-Y-S-T-Z-O-L-F, K-O-M-E-D-A. And that was the composer. I stumbled over my words. So Ira wrote this book and had a tremendous kind of quieting about him. He goes down as one of the greatest horror writers of all time. I don't know if you ever read the book Rosemary's Baby, but for its time, it was a horrifying read. I mean, this thing predates like Stephen King and whatnot, right? And he goes on to live a very quiet life until the movie comes out. And all of a sudden, all of these eyes are on Ira. And the Catholic Church actually made the movie Rosemary's Baby rated C for condemned by the Catholic Church. And ever since that, Ira lost it. He was getting hate mail by the day, by the shovel load. And he goes on in infamy as being somebody that romanticized the occult and, the big satanic panic back in the day. Which, things have kind of calmed down since about that. I mean, people are practicing what they want to practice, and that's fine. You're not hurting me. I'm not hurting you. We're good. But he said in an interview, him and Stephen King sat down, and they said that, they asked about his regrets, and he said his biggest regret was romancing the occult and writing Rosemary's Baby. And that's tragic.
People consider that a classic, and then they don't
imagine
all this stuff.
Imagine
happens.
Like your big claim to fame.
Yes.
And you just regret it. Yeah. And not for like the reasons I was typecast. It's like, oh no, I think I ruined the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta sting.
It indeed it has to sing. Now, what's the whole spawn of this then? I mean, what, you know, yeah, there was skeletons in the last one, but
so in this one, people often you get to the question of what caused the Rosemary's Baby.
Something had to happen.
I have a theory. It's not. It's something. You can kind of run with it as you will. Rosemary's Baby drew a big interest in the occult. Hmm. And it drew a big interest into the real dark side of the occult. So maybe it pumped a lot of negative energy into the movie set of what they were making. Maybe it angered something out there by what it was talking about. Maybe the people that wanted to keep what they were doing a secret, kind of a secret, and now this movie's being portrayed as something. There's probably something to it. That would be my theory on what would be causing this.
All right, so not to the point of a skeleton, but something maybe with much more deeper meaning there.
Possibly. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Also, I just want to point out that our phone lines haven't been ringing much tonight. You guys can call. I still have another story to go. 219-845-1100.
You know, the theme so far seems to be these movies deal with some pretty heavy and dark stuff. Has there... How come no fun movie sets are ever cursed? Like,
There were Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and Baby. Apparently, that entire set was haunted.
Hmm.
There's a lot of them, but the one that comes to mind because you said fun movies, maybe not cursed, but the movie set itself was haunted. Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
That he didn't. There was no hanging Munchkin.
That's apparently what they say, though.
I mean, that's a story. That's a story for the Bob Talks About Movies. That's not not Bob After Dark.
Okay.
I mean that's
a different episode.
That's a different I if we want to do that down the line for something else maybe, but that's not about this.
But I do remember that, yes.
That was a big thing. So yeah, you guys can go check out Rosemary's Baby. It's a great movie, and if you're into vodka, I can't remember what the Queen calls them. Vodka blushes. Mm. You can go drink a vodka blush and enjoy Rosemary's Baby.
You know, when a book comes out, I usually wait for the movie, so that's great that there's a movie version.
And I mean, it's the movie was done in 1968, so I mean, it's been out for a while.
Perfect.
I think it's on Netflix too. You could go
really?
Watch it. Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Gonna watch it right now.
Oh, you're busy working.
Okay, after this, Disney podcast.
No, the Disney. Yeah, you're gonna listen to Disney.
Then
podcast.
Watch the Rosemary.
Yes, and somebody chimed in about the Oz Big Bird. We're not talking about the Wizard of Oz. Apparently, there was weird things that happened on the side of the Wizard of Oz. We're not talking about it. We're gonna move on.
We do a whole episode on Wizard of Oz.
Speaking of a whole episode, I almost dedicated this next topic to an episode all of it by itself, and this is the longest one, and I would argue probably the most. Panic, can you chime into the chat? Someone's asking for the phone number.
Sure.
I could have probably done an entire episode based on this one particular topic, but I thought it would be a good way to kind of segue out, and I want you guys to really think about this one, because there was a lot of mishaps. I understand Poltergeist had, like, deaths, but this one, there was a lot of problems even lasting to today with people that survived the experience of making that film. This movie's called The Exorcist.
Ah, yes.
Have you ever seen it?
I have seen The Exorcist.
I feel like growing up Catholic, you kind of dared to watch that movie.
It was.
It's kind of like the OG horror movie for the religious folk, right?
And that was, what year was that made?
The Exorcist was 1973, and directed by William Friedkin.
Ahead of its time, for sure.
Oh my! There is so, like, Bob Talks About Movies. We'll someday do that podcast. Someday when I want to, I'm not going to retire from this, but it's a revolutionary film, but stuff that went on during that, and I mean, there is some wild stories that have all been confirmed true as it goes on. We're going to start by talking about a nasty back injury that happened to Linda Blair, who played Reagan in the, you know, the bed scene, right? She was the possessed girl. She suffered some nasty back injuries that last to this day. She still feels them and is, you know, tortured by the pain. And Ellen Burstyn, who played the mother. There was a fire that broke out on the set of The Exorcist, and the only thing that didn't catch on fire was Reagan's room.
Okay.
Do we have a caller? You're looking at the phone.
No.
Oh. I saw somebody was trying to chime in to make a phone call.
They're probably taking their time with it.
They're trying to figure out what to say.
Get there, Bob.
I seen Lisa was trying to call. So anyway, fire destroyed a lot of the set except Reagan's room. There was a character in the movie, it was an actor who played a male nurse. He kills a reporter, confesses, and then says he did it and still has no idea why he did it. It just happened, and there was definitely a very strange no-motive situation there, as if he was compelled to kill the reporter. We have a caller. Panic, there you are.
We do. We have Lisa on the line here.
Oh, hey there, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hey, you're talking about The Exorcist, so I had to chime in.
Absolutely. Before we begin, Lisa, where are you calling from? You're a first-time caller, it sounds like.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, thank you.
Detroit.
Hello, Lisa. Detroit. By the way, Lisa was a part of a show once, but never called in. I made her call in when she was a guest way back in October.
Perfect.
So anyway, Lisa, what's on your mind tonight?
Nothing. Just wanted to kind of, talk about you guys were talking about Rosemary's Baby, and there's a kind of little known, well, it's known within people that enjoy horror, but there was a movie that was even more disturbing visually. Maybe not cursed, but it was called The Sentinel.
I'm familiar.
And that was a deeply strange, like, I'm sure, like, the Catholic Church had a problem with it, but I was like, man, it's actually one of my favorite movies, but it's really messed up. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about any curses related to it. But when you guys started talking about The Exorcist, I was like, you know what? It's time to call in.
Do you think that there's a, I haven't got to everything here, but it sounds like you're familiar with the story of The Exorcist curse. Based on what you know, before I get to the rest of it to tell the story, do you think that there was something on the set that caused a curse to the cast and crew? Because, I mean, there's a long list of problems that happened during this film.
Well, the fact that the production actually took what I think it was like just over a year, you have to kind of like, the skeptical part of me says, like, you got to look at it like this. Production takes over a year. You're going to have all kinds of just incidents. But then you had things that kind of can't be, you know, shooed away. Like, oh, well, it was a long production. You know, you had a fire. You had Ellen Burstyn, her back injury. You had the one guy who played the director in the movie. He died.
Yep.
There's so, so much. Not to mention the fact that the imagery at the time was so striking that it struck a chord with people that really left them uncomfortable and terrified, you know, which, I don't know. I think there's probably a little bit of something to it. I definitely believe in the occult. So I think sometimes when you get a little too close to the truth, and it's maybe not the kind of truth you want to find,
the truth comes biting back.
It does tend to kind of want to, you know, slap back. So, I don't know. Thank God we as tragic as a lot of the stuff that happened was, I think there was somebody that they lost a child, one of the people that worked on the film, they got pregnant. I mean, there was all kinds of things that happened, and it was pretty awful.
Absolutely. You know? And I mean, it... the list goes on. I have more that the more that you like you're saying, I still have a list of things that you didn't cover that happened. And I really think that there's something to it. And I'm, by the way, guys, if you don't know who Lisa is a member of the Metro Detroit Ghostbusters and a brilliant paranormal investigator all of her own. I consult with Lisa and her husband, Adam, on a lot of things. They're both very intelligent in the paranormal community. And Lisa put it so eloquently that I don't think I could have said it myself, that sometimes you just get that close to the truth and it just, sometimes the truth bites.
Well, that's like you read the story earlier, right, about the person who went out to the Mothman area.
Yes.
And they heard that voice that said to go. I personally have had that same type of experience, not there, at another location where there was absolutely no making sense of the activity. And when it told me to go, I was like, I'm done. It was very clear. It said, night here does not belong to you. I was there in the daytime, and I refused to go at night. So there, for me, there are times that you get a little too close to someone else's territory or something else's territory, and it's best for you to pay attention.
Absolutely. And this movie, I don't think this movie was the first of its kind as far as the subject matter, because, I mean, you got to think this came out in 73 and Rosemary's Baby touched on not the same thing, but similar themes in, you know, several years earlier. But there was something specific about The Exorcist, and maybe that it was based on a quote-unquote true story. There's possibly something that was attached to the original story or something in general that they just kind of summoned, you know? There's power in belief, and, you know, when you're literally scaring countries of people, which I'll get to later, you know, there's bound to be some, you know, something created from all of that, maybe a topo, whatever it might be. But I really appreciate you calling in, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I there's so much behind it, but yeah, when you brought up and had posted the subject, I was like, The Omen. I'm the biggest Omen fan, so.
Oh, absolutely, and I could do another part of this, and then maybe I'll revisit it down the line, because there's more stories. The Twilight Zone, the movie that killed a lot of people.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, there's a fine line between accidents and filmmaking, and is there a metaphysical exchange? But thanks for calling in, Lisa. I really appreciate you.
No problem, and thanks for doing an awesome show. It's great.
Absolutely.
I'm enjoying it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Look at that, Count Panic. We're heard on all the way in Detroit.
Detroit. All the way in Detroit, Rock City. Good to be heard.
Absolutely. And thank you, Lisa. Her and her husband, Adam, brilliant investigators. Mm. They're great. Anyway, I was talking about the male nurse actor who killed the reporter, had no motive, and confessed and just said, I have no idea what I did it. I was like, it was almost like he was driven to do it. Jack McGowan, who played Burke Dennings, dies during post-production. Valesliki Merios, she played Mary Keras, died during post-production. First film ever been in, she was discovered by the director, I believe, in a coffee shop. Came on the set of The Exorcist, dies. After The Exorcist was shot. Linda Blair's grandfather, Max von Sydow, dies during the first day of shooting. Jason Miller, who played Father Damien, nearly dies in a motorcycle accident that scars him for life. Mercedes McMirabride, who played the voice of Pazuzu, who was the demon in The Exorcist, son kills his family and then kills himself during the production of The Exorcist.
There you have it. Well, and Linda Blair, though.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
But Linda Blair is still... her grandfather there, but...
Linda Blair's still alive.
Yeah.
She's suffering from problems from The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And Linda Blair is... I've met Linda. She's a very brilliant woman and a very... You know, you guys know Linda Blair was a big deal in the paranormal community. She's an investigator herself, and she's experienced these things and thinks she's a part of a curse that lasted, you know, to this day. And I don't really have much to say. That's a terrifying, it's a terrifying thing to think about. And I mean, the story goes on with The Exorcist, man. It doesn't stop there. It was banned in every country but Libya in the Middle East, and eventually banned in Libya.
Wow. So they were a holdout for a while there.
People seeing an exorcism based on a true story invites the demon that was called out into your home, and people were believing that they were possessed by this demon in the Exorcist film. Even to the point where there is a story of a woman who saw the movie, got up in the middle of it, saying she was compelled by voices in her head, trips in the dark and breaks her jaw, sues Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers deciding not to fight this because it sounds ridiculous when it says out loud, settles out of court because she believes that she was hearing voices in her head. And, you know, I was saying, growing up Catholic, right? And you're dared to watch The Exorcist, and it supposedly really scares you. And it's a scary film. It's you know, it's a good film. It's scary, and it did a lot of pioneering things. But at the same time, is there something to it that are you letting an energy come into your home by a fictional story? Mm. You know, we talk about demonology.
Like using a Ouija board. So
right, absolutely. Which, you know, dabble, whatever. That's fine. You know, you invite energies into your home, but are you inviting something into your home based on this film? In which case, then, is this the biggest form of, like, I want to say, like, biggest form of, like, a pandemic of paranormal sense? The Exorcist was seen by a lot of people that year it came out. So is it possible that it's spreading all of these, you know, all of these things? And then the argument I have to have as far as, like, the skeptical side is, why haven't horror movies since, and why haven't demonic films since, caused those kinds of problems for people? Is it because it was the first of its kind? Is it because people said it was based on a true story? I don't really know.
Because how many exorcism movies have we had since then?
A lot. Lots. I mean, there's at least two or three in the main series, right? I think there is.
And then
they had the TV show.
Yeah.
That came out recently-ish. So, and then they had, like, The Exorcism of Emily Rose several years ago. And, I mean, that was based on a true story, too. I mean, I've been involved with exorcisms. I've seen them, been involved, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, there's a lot of power to them. And there's a lot of things that you have to be careful watching them or being involved with. So maybe the Warner Brothers kind of jumped the gun on making something like this, as Lisa said. Maybe they just got that close to the truth that it caused the truth to bite back.
At some 1973, people, I mean, nowadays people have so many movies to go back and be like, oh, you know, that's kind of crazy. But 1973, not too many of those at that point.
No. Vix chimes in and says, what about the movie premiere? The woman who broke her jaw, that might have been during the movie premiere. If there's another story that I missed, let me know. I'd appreciate it. But, man, that's something. So, I mean, is The Exorcist movie set cursed? Or is it that The Exorcist in general is cursed? I don't know if cursed is the right word as it is, like, haunted.
Yeah.
You got to think. I mean, there is power when you say something out. You know, you
curse seems worse than a haunting there.
I don't know. Really? It's a tough call. Because, I mean,
curse.
We talk about the Bell Witch, right? Yeah. We had the Bell Witch episode a long time ago. And we talked about, you know, how the family was cursed by the witch and the spirit, whatever it might be, that cursed the family line down the line, right? That was a curse. But there's no story of someone coming out right and saying, you know, William Friedkin, I'm cursing you in this entire film. We don't have stories like that. Maybe nothing ever came public of it. I don't necessarily think it's cursed as it is just people buying into powers and energies that they don't understand, and they're allowing these things to come into the home and their homes. And even, you know, I see Jesse chiming in the chat and saying power of suggestion. And I mean, there's something to that too. I don't really know. That's a tough call. And, you know, I go back and I think about these three movies, and there's so many more. What's a curse, right? And I have to go back to this question of what is a curse? And a curse is a manipulation of energy by a person or persons to cause harm or mischief on a person, place, thing, or idea, a noun. And it's, I don't have stories of people saying, darn you, Toby Hooper, for you making this movie with real skeletons, we hereby curse everybody on the movie set. You don't have stories like that. So, I mean, is it outside metaphysical forces that are haunting the set, in which case a haunting is a little separate from a curse.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's where I'm going to draw the line of, I don't know. Do I think they're cursed? Maybe there's something to it. Or maybe there's a legitimate you buying into the ability and the powers that come from these things. Power of suggestion, you know, you're afraid of it. And there are things that exist in the metaphysical realms that thrive off of your fear. That's why, you know, sometimes you feel a little bit more scared in a horror movie when it's all done and over with. There's spirits and entities out there that want to attach to you on these things. So maybe that's what it is. And The Exorcist dived into some really potent stuff. So maybe, just maybe, that they tapped into this entity that was just hanging out. You know, some people say it was the devil. I don't think it was the devil. I think the devil has things to do that aren't related to.
He's not hanging around movie sets.
He's not hanging around movie sets. Yeah. He's hanging around on TV back lots filming the show on Fox TV or Supernatural. So no, I don't. I don't know. I don't think that these films are cursed. I think that's a tough word. Mm-hmm. And the Poltergeist, man, that's a lot of really bad, scary stuff that happened to those people that worked on that film. Why would it be cursed? Sounds like they did some bad things and, you know, karma kind of crept up. Not on the actors. They didn't deserve that. But maybe some of those skeletons they used were a real scary thing. Maybe in the case of Rosemary's Baby, that was real, you know, taboo subjects, and people watched that and got a little freaked out and things happened, you know, by it. Maybe people bought into the energy. But in the case of The Exorcist, the other thing you have to keep in mind is the movie wasn't released yet and bad things were happening. So on that set, I would say there's probably more than just a curse going on. On that set, it's probably a legitimate haunting. We have a last caller of the night.
Yeah, we got last caller here, Michael.
Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Michael. Where are you calling from?
Whiting, Indiana.
Hi, Michael from Whiting. What's on your mind tonight?
This is Big Mike, Bob.
Oh, yes, I know, Mike, but I gotta play it off like I don't know you, Mike. I what's on your mind tonight? What's on your mind tonight, Mikey?
We're talking about the curses and everything,
right?
And how, like, people are watching The Exorcist and, like. But I feel like, so if the movie like set and everything going on there, like, it might be bringing in a lot of like bad energy itself of like everything going on in the scenes, and like it's like inviting it in. So like, even if it's not like, you know, someone had malicious intent to put like a curse or hex or anything on the place, like just acting out these scenes and everything could be just drawing it in themselves.
Absolutely.
And I feel with like just like normal people watching the movie, especially way back in the day, and then themselves like getting hurt or getting ill or anything like that, I think the movie itself is just, people get scared and it starts to bring in like doubt and force themselves to like lower their natural guard against like ambient spirits around. So people like watch these horror movies, they get really, really scared, and then all of a sudden like their guards goes, like they don't have their proper guards up just to keep bad spirits out.
Yeah.
Now they look for it, and then they get infected basically by bad energy, and then bad things start happening to them.
Right.
So that's why I've been like feeling on this current topic of the night.
I think you nailed it on the head, Mikey. I appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Absolutely. You nailed it on the head. Thanks for calling in, Mikey. I appreciate you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Welcome. I love the show.
Thank you. Have a very good night, Mikey.
Thank you. I'll let you guys wrap on up. And
absolutely. We're running overtime here, Cal Panic.
There we go. Well, you know, movie sets are very creepy.
Important.
Good points by Mikey there. Good points.
I didn't. Tony chimes into the chat and says, a curse only works if you truly believed you're cursed. Definitely the power of suggestion. I think there's something to that, too. I know people who believe that they weren't cursed and it happens. I don't know. It's up for interpretation, which is the beautiful thing about studying metaphysics. Mm. It's definitely up for interpretation. And I don't know. That's That's what I got. What's your opinion on Count Panic? Do you think something was hanging around the set of The Exorcist, or do you think that the movie set itself was cursed? I don't know if that's like, but that's hard because was it the locations that they shot in were cursed, or do you think it was the idea? Because I don't know. I don't think you can curse an idea. I guess you can. I mean, I said that.
I think maybe it's just because it's the first of its kind. I mean, nothing was seen like this ever before. Maybe it's just, it gets in your head. You know, we talk about things just getting in your head.
Yeah.
It got in the heads of a lot of people. Now, here's what they should do before you watch it. They should say, hey, this movie set was cursed. Take precaution watching
and that's,
it.
And that is not only, oh man, I'm knocking over my my monitor behind me. Yeah. The Bob After Dark set cursed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something maybe to it. It's very possible, and maybe that's the thing. And, you know, if you put up a disclaimer before the movie, this movie is cursed, either you're going to draw up a lot of people to watch your movie, or you're going to be considered a hokey filmmaker, you know what I mean? I have a background in that. I totally understand.
The Ed Wood of your day, Bob.
I was not. Ed Wood is way better than I will ever be. But, again, not talking about filmmaking here. Well, actually, I am, but you get the idea. And then, you know, I came up with this topic because I was thinking about going to the movies, and going to the movies is one of my favorite things in the entire world to do when I'm not, you know, nose deep into the occult and figuring it out and this and that. And I realized there's no new movies coming out due to COVID, and I'm like, man.
Are they open? Yeah. What's
I mean, they're playing old movies. I mean, you could go watch Ghostbusters right now.
At the drive-thrus and stuff.
And like, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you could go see Ghostbusters and stuff. That's great. But I miss like a new movie. I miss going to see something I'd never seen and being like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. So, I mean, that's where I got this idea from. And then I thought, well, it's kind of like a curse. And are there cursed movie sets? Possible. Is the idea of the movie itself cursed? If I was to remake The Exorcist today, and I'm not talking like, you know, a cash-in remake. I'm talking like shot for shot, like true heartfelt remake of The Exorcist. Yeah. Will I have the same effects metaphysically as the original cast and crew?
I wouldn't want to figure it out, though, Bob. Might be best just to let that one sit.
Well, it's a good question, and I'm curious your answer on it, Count, before we call it a night here.
I would say stay away from it, because I feel like...
Well, do you think we're going to get the same results?
I think so, yes, Bob. I think if you redo it shot from shot...
And, like, yeah. I put my heart and soul in this movie. It's not a cheap cash.
No, I'd say it might... I wouldn't... I think it would be cursed.
Okay.
Whatever cursed is, but it would be.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, do you have any closing words for the audience?
Can't wait to go to Mars with Big Frank Sausage... I'll put the flag up, the Big Frank Sausage flag up there on Mars. Coming soon.
Coming soon. The first vampire to Mars.
Yeah.
Even though there was a movie Dracula on Mars. Anyway, I digress. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching another episode of Bob After Dark, or listening in if you're in podcast land. Remember all of these things we talked about tonight. And to my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and the most important rule I can teach you on Bob After Dark is as above, so below. See you next time.
Memoriam Development.